If you don't think the flying bug is inherited, you don't know Matt Youngkin. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Back on November 10th, airshow performer Matt Youngkin was flying his grandfather's Mullah Coupe when he lost power and had to make an emergency landing on a model aircraft flying field near his home in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. The plane was destroyed, but Matt came through with an arm injury that was successfully repaired in surgery, and we all breathed a sigh of relief when the family announced Matt would not only recover, but do so in time for the 2010 airshow season. Matt Youngkin may be best known for his faithful recreation of the airshow routine flown years ago by his dad, legendary performer Bobby Youngkin, in the Beach 18. The big twin was designed to haul mail, not do Cuban eights, and airshow audiences are amazed at the plane's capabilities in the hands of a skilled pilot. The story of how Matt came to perform in the 18 is interesting, timely, and a great way to kick off the annual ICAS convention in Las Vegas. We'll share it with you in the next few minutes, as told to Aero TV.
Well, I learned to fly at age 14 from a family friend named Ken Collier in a Piper J3 Cub. And you can't solo at 14, at least not in a powered airplane. So closer to my 16th birthday, Chuck Irvin, the same man that taught my dad how to fly, we got together and he refined a lot of my piloting skills and taught me a few more things, and I soloed my grandfather's 1928 Travelair 4000 biplane on my 16th birthday. My dad and I, he was always going to teach me aerobatics, and we just never got around to it. We went out a couple of times in the family Super Decathlon, and we worked mainly on slow rolls. Dad always said that if you could master a slow roll, you could master anything, because a slow roll is the basis of most aerobatic maneuvers. We worked on that a couple of times, but I never really got very good at it. Then, of course, when my dad passed away, I went out and I used the skills that I had developed by flying model airplanes and the little bit that he taught me about slow rolls and taught myself aerobatics. For those that don't know, the control inputs on an RC transmitter are the same as the control inputs on a full-scale airplane. It takes the same stick and rudder movements to make the little airplane do the same maneuver that it does for the big airplane. So the transition is really just orienting yourself to be inside the airplane and experience the G-load as opposed to being on the ground watching it. It was a lot of fun, you know, figuring all that out. I wouldn't recommend that for anybody else, though, you know, because it's at the same time, it's easy to get in trouble. Most rewarding experience for me is when somebody comes up to me, especially when I'm flying this airplane, and they've come up to me and they either tell me a story about how they saw my dad perform somewhere way back when and it just took their breath away what he could do with the airplane, or they met him or they knew him and they used to fly models together. It's, you know, all the stories that dad made sure I never heard when I was growing up because, you know, he didn't want to be a bad influence. I'm now hearing from people that I meet on the airshow circuit, you know, about different things that they used to do with airplanes. And I'm hearing a lot of really good stories, you know, a lot of things that my dad did for other people that I never knew about, or things that, experiences that he had, or how people, based on the experience they had with him, changed their life and went and did something different, and it's working out great for him and all that. You know, I think my dad and I were becoming very close before I lost him. But, you know, now that he's gone, it's kind of a way to hang on to what we had. Getting to fulfill some of these goals that I've set forth as far as continuing that tradition and that heritage, old barnstorming acts are getting fewer and further between. And these older airplanes, more and more of them are getting parked because of the cost of fuel and maintenance. And it's the type of aviation that I was privileged enough to grow up with is it's a dying art form. And, you know, being able to continue down that same road, it's a real privilege.
The Youngkin family had a few nice old planes, but Matt decided he had to follow in his dad's footsteps and perform in the Beach 18. The rest of that story in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and today we're listening to air show performer Matt Youngkin relate the story of his start in aerobatics and why it just had to be the Beach 18.
The Beach 18 was my ultimate goal for continuing Dad's legacy. It's the airplane that put him on the map and kind of put him at the forefront of airshow entertainment. And though he flew several airplanes over the years, that's the one everybody remembers him for. The airplane itself is a dream to fly. And when we lost Dad, there was a real panic to try to sell a lot of the airplanes. We as a family decided that if there was one airplane out of the whole lot that we could keep, it would be the Beach. My parents' first date was going to the airport to watch the Twin Beach mail plane start up and take off and go out on its mail run. When they got married, my dad's first job, he relocated himself and my mother up to South Dakota, and his first aviation job was flying night air mail on a Beach 18. And then they moved to Malden, Missouri and did the same thing again. And then when he moved back to Arkansas, where he was originally from, he had enough money to buy one of his own. And he hauled freight in that airplane till I was 12 or 13 years old. And when the freight market dried up on Twin Beaches, he moved the airplane over into his airshow lineup, put smoke on it, and started doing airshows with it. And that was the story of his life. We always had a Beach 18 in the hangar. There was he always had one that he was hauling freight in, one he was doing airshows in, and a couple of others that he was buying and selling, you know, horse trading. We just knew that this was the airplane we wanted to keep. Well, unfortunately, the way the situation ended up, any airplane that we kept was going to have to pay its way. Based on that, my grandfather, when I talked to him about continuing to do air shows in this airplane, he said I was crazy. He said, you know, there was only one Bobby Youngkin. There's, you know, that has come and gone. There'll never be another Beach on the air show circuit. You're dreaming. My grandfather and one of his good friends who belonged to the Beach Historical Society or Beach Museum over in Tennessee had put together a plan to purchase this airplane to put in their museum. And they took it over to the beach party that's every October over there, and by request it was left in that museum. And when they came home and didn't bring the airplane back, the rest of us were just crushed. We thought we'd never see it again. After my first air show in November of 2005 in the decathlon, my grandpa had gotten word that, you know, that I did know what I was doing. He wasn't able to see the show, but he had heard from others that, you know, I did in fact have an ability to, you know, at least safely do this. And so he offered me the keys to his Travel Air Mystery Ship replica, which is it's a low wing air racer, very historical airplane. Anyway, he says, well, if you're going to be doing this, that airplane's sitting down in the museum. It's not doing anything. Why don't you add that to your lineup? Maybe you can sell some shows in it. We went down New Year's Eve and got that airplane, brought it back from the museum. Well, because it hadn't flown in several years due to a very extensive annual and some bad weather, I only had about 2 weeks to learn how to fly the airplane and go get my waiver in it before my first air show. In March of that year, I performed in the airplane as well as the decathlon, and Grandpa was there for that show. And he said that that was the most graceful display he's ever seen in an airplane, and he had a complete change of heart. And not only did he go get the Twin Beach and bring it back home from the museum, but he personally paid the banknote off on the airplane. So the airplane is now secure. I don't have to fly it anymore. It's a privilege to fly it at this point. But, you know, if we ever get tired of doing air shows with it, we can stand around and look at it because it's not going anywhere.
See the video that goes with this audio in a feature dated December 3rd at aero-tv.net. We'll hear the rest of Matt's story next week. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.